It's 5 o'clock in Pirate Country, and it's time to get pumped up with the P-Man. Hit the door and hit the road. 94.3 The Game is going to get you home, and the P-Man's not holding back.
Yes! Yes! Pirates win! Pirates win!
Bring on the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Holy mackerel! Oh, my goodness!
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates.
All right, welcome in on a Monday as we get through the first couple rounds of March Madness. And mixed results for the Pirates on the respective diamonds this weekend. ECU drops 2 of 3 to UTSA in San Antonio in what were probably less than ideal conditions. A program that obviously has some talent, have a good head coach. Speaking of the Roadrunners here, but tough weekend there. They were fired up and ready to go, but, it is what it is, and there's been a lot of talk about what was maybe going on or not going on behind the scenes there, and we'll talk to Cliff Godwin about some of the things that happened, try to keep it on the field and above board because, I think there's a sense that even though they've got a 1-2 starting conference, that the Pirates are still the prohibitive favorite to win the American Athletic Championship this year, regular season, and quite possibly the tournament as well when they play that down in Clearwater. We have a big congratulations going out to the Shane Train, Shane Winkler's team. Not only did they pick up the win Friday, we had Coach Wink on for a few minutes when we had our show on Friday live on 94.3 The Game. But Coach Winkler and company, after the great power outage and rainstorm of 24, how did we survive it on Saturday? Came out tight game, but ended up giving away too many walks in a big 6-run inning for Charlotte. And then Charlotte kind of pounded a freshman pitcher in the seventh and made it 11-1. And, Charlotte's a good team. I think they were without one of their top pitchers this weekend because of injury, but they've got a girl, Georgiana Barefoot, who's a real ace, probably the ace of their staff. And she went mano-a-mano with Taylor Apple, the freshman for East Carolina, who shut down Charlotte on Friday and then bounced back. And even though she gave up a 2-run homer and trailed it 6-1 or 2-1 in the sixth, the Pirates came out and hit a solo shot in the seventh to tie it. And then Annie Kate Dalton, who's the catcher, transfer from North Carolina this year, a home run. And I sounded like a sober Harry Carey. I was talking about scores around the league when she homered. I thought it was going to be a flyout, but it got caught up in the wind and it went over. Could be, might be, it is. So the Pirates with a 4-2 win in game two. And they take 2 of 3 from number 21st ranked softball team in the country, who's beaten two top 10 teams this year and 3 wins over top 25 teams, Charlotte I'm speaking of. So that was a big deal for East Carolina there. So congrats to them. They'll be playing Elon tomorrow. ECU baseball will be having the Seahawks of UNCW in tomorrow. It'll be a 6 o'clock first pitch and a 5:45 airtime on 94.3 The Game. So we'll have an abbreviated version of the PJ show coming up for you. Cliff Godwin and Steven Igo will join us here coming up in a little bit later on inside Pirate Athletics with Coach Godwin. We'll also hear from Jacob Jenkins-Cowart, Ryan McChrystal, and we will have Eric Ritchie as a guest tonight on the radio from Tiebreakers. All right, Philip the Ref Pilkington is here. I'm sure brackets are busted. A good time had by all. Interesting tournament. It's kind of chalky. There's no lovable, plucky underdog. I guess that's NC State into the Sweet 16, but you don't have anybody that's a real surprise like Oakland or Yale or someone like that that sprung a first-round upset, Grand Canyon. That was a fistfight yesterday with Alabama. And now that's who the Tar Heels will play, Alabama. I think you're going to look at this
Alabama
team from Bama as being a little more formidable against the Heels. Heels are going to have to play good defense. Duke, I listened to the game yesterday on Talk 103.7, and the Blue Devils behind Jared McCain's otherworldly shooting effort, 30 points. get to the Sweet 16, the 29th in Blue Devil history.
Like this, to go to the Sweet 16. For these types of games, you just want to win. And I want to do everything I can to win. And tonight, if that was making shots, making threes, and then that's what it was. So I'm just grateful to even have this opportunity to go to the Sweet 16.
That's McCain there, 30 points for him. They got a nice performance from Roach, Proctor, 18. So Blue Devils, that looked like the Duke team I think we were expecting this year, Pilk.
I think it was. I think really their last two games have probably been their best two games. Yeah, maybe not from an offensive standpoint on Friday, but they played a suffocating style of Virginia defense on Friday when they got up. And to your point, Patrick, yesterday, they just shot the lights out. And when you look at historic good Duke teams, at least in this century, they've been very good shooting teams. You think back to John Shire, Kyle Singler, Nolan Smith in 2010, that team could shoot the lights out. They shot the ball pretty well in that 2015 run as well. And this team can beat anybody in this country. This team can win a national championship. I don't think they're the favorite. I don't think they're the best team in the country by any means. But if they play the way they did yesterday, if they can do that Friday night against a very good Houston team, they stand a darn good chance to win this basketball game. And what is good for them is Houston doesn't have that prolific inside scorer, and that has been Duke's kryptonite all year.
Yeah, and that'll be a 9:39 tip. NC State will play the early game a little after 7 that night against Marquette. Speaking of the Wolfpack, my man, the Ebb from Greene County shout out, giving me a text. He was all fired up that NC State got to the Sweet 16, beat Oakland, game went overtime. It was interesting because I really thought NC State, by and large, played better. Got some tough breaks in overtime, but didn't, with some foul calls and what have you, some whistles going against them, but they didn't fold. And DJ Burns is a phenom. I mean, he's a basketball savant. So the Packer there, this is the first time since 2015 that Duke, North Carolina, and NC State are all into the Sweet 16. It's only the second time that Clemson has gone to the Sweet 16 under the same head coach. Brad Brownell has led him to two Sweet 16s, and no other Clemson coach, from what I heard yesterday, has ever done that. So four out of the ACC move on. And another team I was kind of interested in getting there, and Gonzaga, they got by McNeese State pretty easily. You know, they were second in the West Coast Conference, and St. Mary's beat them in the championship game, and a lot of people had given up on Gonzaga being a team that would be a second weekend or chance to get to the Elite Eight kind of team this year. And here they are. They're going to be playing for the right to move on to the Elite Eight and dismantle Kansas in the second half. That was a great game in the first half. I know Kansas was down a key player, but still, Gonzaga looked phenomenal. And that's kind of the fun Gonzaga team you think of there. They were something like 7 out of their first 7, 8 out of their first 8 out of the halftime locker room on Saturday. Speaking of Saturday, Pilk, did you fall victim to the great power outage of 24?
I was out of Greenville by the time it happened.
Oh, that's right. You went to the beach this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was in a panic, and I think the lights were out for 90 minutes. I'd have been in a panic. But people were – and it wasn't even the whole city. Was it like a Moore County situation? And then you had the great rainstorm of the century that night, overnight, Friday into Saturday. So how did we make it? How did we get to this point? Pilk, anything that stood out from you from the weekend, a weekend winner or weekend worst, to harken back to an old segment on Mondays from the past?
I mean, I loved the rain because now my car's not covered in pollen, so that's first and foremost.
That's true.
But no, I think you got to give it to Coach Winkler. I mean, you know, you mentioned how good the Charlotte team is. They beat Florida State earlier in the season, who was number 4 at the time. They beat Kentucky a couple weeks ago, who was top 10. I don't remember the exact number. Each program has a program.
Virginia Tech, who was ranked.
Oh, okay, Virginia Tech. That was the other one. Thank you. Each program has a program-defining win that finally takes them from, we've got this new coach and we're relevant, to we're a contender. And I'm hoping when we look back on Shane Winkler and his tenure at East Carolina, we point to this weekend. I think with Mike Houston, we look back to the SMU game. I'm sure in Pirate Baseball, it was something that Coach O did way before I was born, which put ECU baseball on the map. And I think Coach Winkler has turned around, I believe, two programs already before he got here.
Yeah.
It was only a matter of time before he did it in Greenville. And I think this weekend has finally proved, hey, Pirate softball is here to stay. So that's my big weekend winner.
All right. Look, I hope it's the case. I mean, you would love to play for the guy. Anybody would, because he lets him swing away. I mean, that's the deal, and that's how they won the game yesterday. They tied it with a homer for Morgan Johnson, and then Dalton hit one two-run shot to win it in the ninth. And Taylor Apple is a freshman, pretty darn good as a pitcher. Well, we've got baseball coming your way tomorrow, and we're going to hear the aftermath of last week's 2-2 run. Pirates entered the weekend in the top 10 and lost 2 of 3 to UTSA on the road in that field that they play in down there. Literally. All right. Cliff Godwin will be on with us. We'll have more with Coach G coming up tonight on Inside Pirate Athletics. Philip the Ref Pilkington is here. He'll guide you through the rest of the show after our Coach G segment as we go inside the Pirate Clubhouse. Steve and I go, yours truly, will talk with Coach Godwin coming up right after this on the PJ Show. We're talking Pirate baseball. Steve and I go, Patrick Johnson, and the head coach of the Pirates, Cliff Godwin, joining us here after a tough weekend out in San Antonio against UTSA. We'll get Coach Godwin's thoughts on that. We'll break down the games. Coach, great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us here on Monday morning.
Thanks for having me. P-Man's back. It was just Igo and I last week, so the P-Man's back. Good to have you back. You know, first off, I want to talk about Elon. I mean, we had four road games this week, and I know people have forgotten that, but I thought that was the best game that we've played all year was the Elon game. I thought we pitched great. I thought Taylor gave us a great quality start. I thought our offense was really good. I thought we played great defense, and I thought our bullpen was really good. And it's not always an easy place to win. It's a tricky game. Then we go to UTSA, kind of the perfect storm from the standpoint of on Friday, Trey didn't have his best stuff. Their offense was super prepared for Trey. I would say this is the best offense over an entire weekend that we faced from the standpoint of they made adjustments. They made our pitchers work really hard. They did not strike out a ton. They put balls in play. The infield was really hard. So when they hit the ball on the ground, it was a hit or an error, which is you got to play on different surfaces. I'm not making an excuse for that, but it was a perfect storm. And then, of course, Riley Johnson going down on Saturday didn't help us on Sunday. But it's just getting guys more opportunities that maybe wouldn't be out there in that situation and will be better for it in the long run. And as I told you guys before we got on the air, I don't really care what the narrative is nationally or with our fans because we still have a really good team. And the thing that I'm most thankful for is our players and our staff really care. And as I was driving into work this morning, I know we're going to be hungry for tomorrow. I know we'll be hungry for this weekend. Our guys want to be elite at what they do, and it's a long season. And we always talk about the 11-game seasons within the season. So our first 11 games, we were 7-4, which you want to be 8-3. And this last 11-game season, we're 9-2. So we're right where we want to be. Did we want to start out 1-2 in the conference? Absolutely not. But it's not how you start. It's how you finish, and that ain't just coach speak. So a lot of belief in that locker room and amongst our staff. So we'll have some meetings today. Our guys will get a lift in, and then we'll be ready to go tomorrow night.
I'm glad you brought up Elon because, you know, we're the prisoner of the moment, so we forgot all about that. You're right. as far as what you did say it was the most complete game Tuesday. I remember hearing that afterwards. What about that game was the best game of the season from all aspects?
Well, like I said, I think, it starts on the mound, of course. I thought Kaler was outstanding. And Elon, that's the best offensive Elon team, probably numbers-wise, since I've been the head coach at East Carolina. They normally have a couple good players offensively, but I thought our pitching was outstanding against a quality offensive opponent. I thought our offense, you know, threw the first punch, and I think we scored three in the first inning. I thought our guys were excited to play. As I told them, when they're that excited to play and just into it and pulling for one another, it actually makes it more enjoyable for the coaches. And so, and I thought we played great defense. So really in all the phases, plus the intent and the energy level was outstanding at Elon.
Coach, with a game or a series like this weekend, where you go on the road, they're excited, they're hyped up because it's East Carolina coming in. You know, they're obviously motivated because of the reputation and the way you all played. Is this, I don't want to say, you know, you don't want this start, as you said, but I mean, is this a good lesson learned type of thing that you do have to be, you know, on top of everything, especially when you're on the road in the conference?
Absolutely. I mean, it's the first time we've ever been there. Like I said, the playing surface was a unique surface. I mean, it was really hard and choppy, and they're used to it. We aren't. And Saturday at the end of the game, I mean, because it was a long game, and they don't have the grounds crew like East Carolina does, where they're dragging the field in the fifth inning and making sure there's a ton of moisture in it. If you hit a ground ball at the end of Saturday, it was either air or hit. It just the way it was. You know, we were able to win that game. But I told the guys going in, I mean, you look at their stats and what they were hitting offensively and how they were pitching. They remind me a little bit of our 22 team from the standpoint for on the pitching side of things. They really just had one starter, which was the freshman on Friday night, that went length. And then they had two openers on Saturday and Sunday, and they went to their main guys out of the bullpen. And they've got some guys that can shut you down offensively on the right day. So, of course, the guy that closed out Friday's game, he closed out yesterday as well. And I don't think we did the best job of making adjustments off him. I mean, he's a fastball dominant guy, and it's a high spin rate heater. So you have to get the fastball down, and you got to swing over it because it looks to the naked eye of it's actually riding up. And I thought that we would handle him better yesterday after seeing him on Friday, and we didn't. But yeah, it's a great learning experience. And, you know, I'm just super positive about the way our guys will handle this. And like I said, we'll get better from it.
Coach, you looked at, you know, Friday, Saturday specifically, and you kind of mentioned it with the field, but it seemed like for a while, every ground ball they hit found a hole, or even the slow choppers, you know, were against the shift. Like, it just seemed like it was one of those weekends where they caught a lot of breaks, especially in those first two games offensively and a little bit on Sunday. But was it, how as a pitching staff, can you guys not get a little bit frustrated when maybe y'all are executing the right pitches, but they're just sticking the bat out there and getting the ball in the right area?
Well, I'm giving their coaching staff and their players a lot of credit on Friday, the way they, like I said, that they handled Trey as Savage, and Trey wasn't extremely sharp, but they handled him better than any offense that we faced. And the wind's galing in, and they're hitting hard ground balls and low line drives, and some of them got through. But Saturday, you know, it just was kind of a crazy game. It was a very offensive game, and the longer that we were on the field, the worse the infield got. But our guys battled, and, you know, I think it was huge for us to put up, I think, two runs in that ninth inning, because we had only had a two-run lead after they put up the sixth spot, and then we added two, and Danny Beal was tremendous. Yesterday, unfortunately, we gave them 11 free 90s. Now, I want you to think about this, 11 free 90s without walking or hitting a guy. So that is a recipe for not winning baseball games. You have to really score if you're going to do that. And that's something that we got to clean up. And we just made some, you know, mistakes that we can't make if we want to win on the road. I mean, it's hard to win on the road. And I told our guys going in that I've known their head coach for a long time. He used to be an assistant at Rice when Rice was rolling. And he's super competitive. And I knew that they have had this date marked on their calendar for a year, because they're joining in the conference, and all they've heard about is East Carolina, and people are tired of hearing about East Carolina. And so they were able to win the series, and, You know, their coach said we had a bunch of wind-dated home runs yesterday. So, you know, I guess we're just lucky to be in the game by one run. But it's fine. It's, like I said, it's a marathon, not a sprint. That's a line from Coach LeClaire. So we'll see how we shape up when the regular season's over.
Coach Gobb, I want to ask you about a couple of your seniors who, you know, seem to be kind of up and down right now. And it, from my vantage point, we've talked about it, maybe putting a little bit too much pressure on themselves. We'll start with Jacob Starlin. You know, obviously struggled a little bit at the plates and made, you know, an error yesterday. What do you say to him after a series like that where he's been so critical for you guys but just didn't have his best game this week?
Well, you know, I'm actually going to meet with Star, and I know the other person you're talking about is J-Dub, so I'm meeting with those guys today individually and just pick their brain, you know, what they're feeling. I know they have pressed at times because they're such good human beings and they want to win for the team, not for themselves. So they've definitely put some pressure on themselves that probably is unwarranted on their end. I've talked to them about, you know, having more fun. The thing I can tell you is, they have showed up with an unbelievable attitude every single day. No matter if they go 0-for-4, they don't catch good, or J-Dub doesn't catch good, start and play great. Their attitude and energy has been unbelievable. And that's the thing I appreciate the most, is they're not letting their physical performance affect them mentally, which also would affect other guys around them, which then that becomes an issue. So they've been great leaders regardless of their physical performance. I know that, you know, people are frustrated, and but my job is to help them, and I'm going to help them today. And we want them to play their best baseball at the end of the year, not necessarily the beginning. And, you know, we're really, what, I guess, 2/5 of the way through our regular season. So we're not even to the halfway point yet. So I've got a ton of confidence in those guys. I know that they're going to play their best baseball at the end of the season. So we'll get them right. And, you know, they'll be back to where people expect them to be. But really, it's just making sure mentally they're in a good headspace and taking care of those things.
With Wilcox and Coach behind the dish, you know, with the balls getting through his legs, is it a technique thing at this point, you think, as far as, you know, maybe letting in some of those wild pitches or pass balls? Or is it just, I don't know, a mental thing from your perspective as a former catcher?
Well, I think some of it is technique, but I think it's snowballed on him a little bit. It's, you know, we're working on his technique, and now it's in the back of his mind. So I've been there where you miss one, and the elephant in the room in your mind is like, hey, don't miss this next one. And then what happens? You miss the next one. So he'll be fine. He's one of the best catchers in the country, and he's in a little bit of a funk right now, but we're going to hammer home the fundamentals that we need him to do to get back to himself. And then, you know, he's just got to believe in it, which he will once he does that. And he's just been off a little bit, but we'll get him back right.
One of the other catchers, Coach Ryan McChrystal, hits a home run for you yesterday. And that was, I'm sure, good to see one of those wind-aided ones, I'm sure. But, you know, as far as, you know, maybe McChrystal being back there, some, will we see some more of that? How do you platoon that? Because both guys can be so valuable, not only behind the plate, but just what they bring to your lineup.
Well, I've just been super proud of Ryan, the way he's carried himself after we had a conversation about 2.5 weeks ago. And I think, you know, maybe a couple players grabbed him and, you know, told him how vital he is to what we're doing. And, you know, your mentality's got to be the same every day, even if you're not in the lineup, because, you know, there were times early in the season that he wasn't in the lineup. And I talked to him about being consistent in his processes daily, and he's really sold out to that, you know, with this daily schedule and being very specific with what he's doing each day. And that doesn't always guarantee you immediate success, but it gives you the best chance to have success consistently over the course of time. And he's been really committed to doing that. And JC told me that, you know, one thing that they talked about when a couple of players met with him was, you know, every day is a privilege to play baseball at East Carolina. And I think a lot of that gets lost when human nature by everybody is to be selfish. But JC said, it's a privilege to play ECU baseball and not play. He said that to me yesterday in the dugout. And I'm like, JC, this is amazing, dude. You're, you know, 21 years old and you're coaching and that's awesome. But when you really think about that, that's the truth, man. We're one of the best baseball programs in the country, and it's a privilege to sit on the bench. And, you know, Coach Palumbo told a story to our team last week about a Houston basketball player, and he's an older player now, but he did not play. And I don't know the kid's name. Igo would probably know this because he was talking about his March Madness bracket earlier. But it's a guy that didn't play much early in his career, and now he's, I think, a senior. And he talked about surrendering to their coach because their coach is a Hall of Fame coach, and how important defense was, and how he wanted him to be a great defensive player early in his career. And he had to work on it. And now he's a really good player for him. And, you know, I think that's tough, especially in this generation with the transfer portal, for a guy to stick it out like that. But like I said, been super proud of Ryan, just the way he's been consistent with his mental and physical processes over the past couple weeks.
Coach, how's Riley Johnson, and what do you anticipate the road ahead for him will be? I'm sure a lot of that will be evaluated at some point today.
Yeah, if I could go back, obviously I wouldn't have given the green light at first base late on Saturday, but he slid into the bag, and he always slides feet first because of both of his shoulders, but he kind of had his hand on the ground, and I think the kid kind of landed on his upper body when he had his hand on the ground, so his right shoulder popped out. And Riley is such a tough young man that he was like, "Coach, I can't swing," which was yesterday, "but I can go in the game and play defense and pinch run and stuff." So, of course, he was out there in the bottom of the eighth inning defensively and made a play. But it's day-to-day. I would say probably not a go tomorrow because I want Riley to be ready to go on Thursday. So probably not a go tomorrow. But I know he'll probably be in my office later today telling me that he feels better and he can go on tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes.
Coach, I thought one of the bright spots over the weekend as well, Ethan Norby on Friday, threw really well out of the bullpen. How good was that to see?
It was awesome, man. You know, my uncle was at the game, and he was like, "Man, that looked like Coochmaner out there." He was out there just working fast and filling up the zone, and super proud of him because, you know, a lot of people have talked about him and, you know, in the fall and being a potential starter. And then there's external pressure and he doesn't pitch great early, and he's just continued to work. And, you know, AK and him have worked together to he kind of was off a little bit with his delivery early in the preseason and then even at the beginning of the season. So AK has worked with him on that. And Norby's such a hard worker. And I can say this now, but unlike his brother as a freshman, he is a very hard worker and very diligent and super detail oriented. So he learned a lot from what his brother did early in his career. And it's like, "Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it the right way." So we appreciate that. But I thought there was a couple guys, man, that, you know, Eric Ritchie pitched great yesterday.
Yeah.
He gave up a run because it was one of those free 90s, one of those innings. But he pitched great. Danny Bill pitched great. Schenkman pitched great. So the bullpen has continued to do what they need to do. And I'm just excited about, you know, we're going to be better at the end of the season than we are right now. We're continuing to grow, but the bullpen is really shaping up.
And I know you were telling us before we took the air, you know, Jake Hunter, of course, I think taken out in the third inning, but really you look at it, I mean, there were two plays at least behind him that should have been made. If those plays are made, then, you know, much different line score. So what did you see out of Jake on Sunday?
Man, he looked like he was pitching freely. His fastball command was so much better. Yeah, we didn't play great defense behind him. And when I took him out of the game, I was like, "Hey, dude, you look so much better. Don't change the course that you're on because you look different today in a good way." And we just had to go because, you know, we're getting behind and the matchups, and we felt like Ritchie could get us out of that jam, and he did. But it really, we just didn't help Jake out on the mound. But his fastball command was way better. He was able to throw it where he normally wants to throw it. Sorry about that. Little reminder to call Jake Agnos. So, but anyway, Jake was a lot better yesterday, and we're excited about him continuing to get better.
We're going to let you call Agnos, but we'll get you out of here on this because we're going to talk to you from the coaches show tonight with some players. But let's talk about UNCW, a thrilling game down in Wilmington. in 10 innings. Pirates come away with the victory. Always tough when the Seahawks and Pirates match up.
Yeah, I hope we play a little bit better than we played down there. And that's not to take away anything they did down there, but we'll need to play better tomorrow night to be able to come out on the winning side of things. But hopefully the crowd will be awesome. It'll be good weather. So we need Pirate Nation to come out and support our boys after being on the road all week, and how much that makes a difference when Pirate Nation is in full force and doing the purple and gold chants early and often.
Are you thinking Kaler for tomorrow, Coach, or is that to be determined?
Haven't totally made the decision yet, but pretty good guess on your part. So we'll see, and I'll try to let you guys know. But got to talk to Coach Knight and make sure that's the plan. But obviously he did not pitch this weekend, and he was available yesterday. If we'd have felt like it was the right situation, right, he'd come out of the bullpen yesterday. But we just never got to that point. So he's been a valuable asset for us, of course, been able to start midweek games and also come out of the bullpen for us.
Not only is there the Tuesday game against Wilmington, but the earlier start of the series this week against UAB with the Easter holiday. So Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for Pirate Baseball. Coach, great to talk to you. We appreciate the time.
Another doubleheader today, so I'll see you guys tonight with Ryan, JC, and Eric Ritchie.
Awesome. Sounds good. All right, thank you. Cliff Godwin with Steven and myself here. And appreciate Coach G's time as always.
And now, the stunning conclusion of the show. It's the P-Man here on 94.3 The Game.
Philip Pilkington here, taking you home on this Monday, wrapping up the Patrick Johnson Show as P-Man and Steve and I go are on their way over to tiebreakers for Inside Pirate Athletics. It will be a baseball edition today, as they will be joined by the coach of the Pirates, Cliff Godwin, as well as select players. That will happen at the top of the hour right here on 94.3 The Game, as well as our sister station, 107.9. The Pirates coming off a tough week on the diamond, dropping 2 out of 3 over the weekend to UTSA. And, you know, I've read the message board, seen what all is being talked about. Everybody's in a little bit of a panic mode. And I just want to remind you guys, you know, the Pirates came into this one on an 8-game winning streak. And it is tough to win 8 games in a row in baseball. If you are a 15-loss team, which is what I think this team roughly is throughout the year, that's about a realistic number, you're going to lose 15 games. In baseball, it is very hard to predict when those games and whom those games against will come. This isn't football. Football, if you say they're a 10-win team, they're going to lose 2. You can almost narrow down that those 2 losses are going to come to, there's maybe 4 or 5 teams that can beat you. Baseball is totally different. And it's hard to win a lot of games. There is randomness to win streaks. Yes, you have to be a good team. But I want to remind you, 97 years ago, the 1927 Yankees, the greatest baseball team of all time, longest win streak that year, 9. So, I don't want to say the Pirates were due for a loss, but it's hard to win a lot of games in a row. And it stinks they lost 2 out of 3, but law of averages in a sport like baseball, where there is a bit of randomness, yes, there's talent, yes, there's coaching, and that gets you to being a good team, an okay team, or a bad team. And this is a darn good baseball team. But law of averages says you will probably lose 1 conference series, at least. I predicted the Pirates to lose 15, 16 games, something like that, at the beginning of the year, all my numbers in front of me. I did have them losing a conference series. I actually had them losing this conference series. There is something different about your first true road series. And yes, they were at Liberty a few weeks ago, but it's different when you fly. And it's not just a bus ride. And you're in a different time zone. And you're at a place you've never been before. And the field conditions aren't great. You know, Joey Perry is not the grounds crew director at every school. I wish he was. If we could clone him, every stadium would be the best in the country, but it's not. There's a difference in playing Clark LeClair Stadium, in big thanks to Joey Perry, and playing somewhere else. So, yeah, I understand people are a little bit upset. Lost 2 out of 3 to UTSA. They're not this wonderful program. But hey, it is what it is. I don't think the team's freaking out. I don't think Coach Godwin is freaking out by listening to our conversation earlier in this show with him. I think it's just part of the game. It happens. But one of the interesting things I took away from our interview with Coach Godwin was when he said, I'm thankful that these players and the staff care so much, and they do care. They'll come back. They'll fight back. I wouldn't want to be a Seahawk tomorrow, I can tell you that. This team is going to fight back. They're going to fight back hard. So we'll see what happens tomorrow, but I don't think we need to be all up in arms yet. Now, it stinks that this conference is so bad because it does leave less room for error. You know, Vanderbilt got smacked this weekend by South Carolina. I mean, it was ugly. But they have many opportunities to get back. Unfortunately, the Pirates don't have as many of those opportunities now. The great thing is, took 2 out of 3 against Carolina. Still got to play NC State twice. They jumped up to 23 in the rankings today after taking 2 out of 3 against Duke over the weekend. Still got to play Duke. Still got to play Campbell. So there's some good out-of-conference competition. You know, Coach Godwin, Coach Palumbo always do a wonderful job scheduling the out-of-conference. And it's going to be okay. And I still think this team stands a darn good chance to host. They still control their own destiny to host. And if you trust any team controlling their own destiny, it's a team coached by Cliff Godwin. They're going to be okay. But it does stink that we're in a situation where the margin for error is so slim. Because again, back to the beginning of this, there is a little randomness to baseball. And that is why you play 3-game series and you don't just play 1 game. That is why it is the only sport, well, softball is the same way, but it's relatively the same game. And it is the same game. It's a different sport. You know, it's still the object of the game, run around the bases. There's a reason that those two are not the NCAA tournament where it's 1 game good is done, or the college football playoff, 1 game good is done. There's a reason you can lose 4 games and still win the College World Series. So it does stink there's less room for error for this team because of the randomness of the sport of baseball, which is nobody's fault other than the fact the conference is just doggy doo-doo. But with that being said, ECU's still not going to go undefeated because, again, there's randomness in baseball, and the teams they're playing are still D1 baseball teams. Yeah, they don't have that little number next to their name like we do and all the other teams in this state and in South Carolina as well that are so good, but they're still D1 baseball players. They still belong on a field with our boys, and, you know, sometimes the lesser team's going to come out victorious. Sometimes there's going to be a ball that, you know, takes a weird hop. Because there's a rock in the field. That only happens on the road. That won't happen at home because Joey Perry would not allow a rock to be in the infield. But hey, you know, when you go to UTSA, when you go to, well, I was going to say Tulane. I think they're all turf. When you go to some of these weird turf places, that's where it's really wonky. But, you know, no biggie. Is what it is. We will move on. But, I think this team's going to be fine. I know there are some guys that maybe didn't perform over the weekend how Pirate Nation would have wanted them to, but there's only randomness to winning games. There's a little randomness to hitting and being successful. You know, if you're a 300 hitter in baseball, you're going to bat 300 on the season. Now, that means there's going to be a 2-week span where you probably hit 100. And then there's a 2-week span, a month and a half later, we're going to hit 500. And, you know, it's really tough to be a good hitter. There's a lot of talent involved, but there is a little bit of luck. If you're a college baseball player and you play 4 games in a week, and you get 5 at-bats per game. It's 20 at-bats per week. The difference in batting 250 and batting 300 is one hit. If you go 5 for 20, you bat 250. If you go 6 for 20, you bat 300 on that week. So there is one hit difference in 50 batting average points in college baseball in a week if you get 20 at-bats. So, you know, it's one hit. You know, and that one hit, yes, could change the complexion of a game, but I don't think we need to be all up in arms after one conference series. We were all up in arms 2 years ago when we got swept by Bryant. We were a national seed. So, this team's going to be okay. I'm confident in Coach Godwin, Coach Palumbo, Coach Knight, the rest of the staff, and our players. It's going to be all right. So now let's move on a little bit to college basketball. Obviously, not going to be talking as much Pirates when it goes to this one. We're going to be looking at the tournament bracket as the first weekend has come to an end. And that ACC that everybody was saying was so weak all year isn't looking as weak right now. The only loss is Virginia. That came in the first four. But Clemson, Duke, NC State, Carolina, they're all still alive in this thing. Now, it has been a little interesting that there's been no major upsets. I mean, yeah, Oakland obviously beating UK that first week or that first day was, but there's no Cinderella teams here in the second weekend. I mean, State's an 11, so they are a double-digit seed, you know, a seed 9 or higher, or lower, I should say, has never won the whole thing. But no Cinderellas here. Looking at the East region, they'll be in Boston. UConn and San Diego State. Two teams that played each other last year for the national championship. Illinois, the 3 seed, against Iowa State, the 2. You're looking at the West. 1 North Carolina, 4 Alabama, 2 Arizona, 6 Clemson. The South. 1 Houston will play 4 Duke, 2 Marquette. Don't bet against Shaka Smart the first weekend of the tournament. We'll take on the somewhat tournament darling in NC State. And then you get down to the Midwest, and it's all the top 4 with the exception of 5th Gonzaga instead of number 4 Kansas, which with McCullough out, how many people really had Kansas going far? Not many. Now, a lot of people had Gonzaga losing to McNeese, me included. But that was one of the tougher quads or pods or whatever the heck we want to call them out of any of these. And in the 4-5, 12-13 always is the most entertaining. But those are some good 12 and 13 there in Samford and McNeese. So, you know, it is what it is. But here we are going into the second weekend. And I really think, you know, it's interesting this year we talk about how there's no great front runner teams and how the field is as deep as it's ever been. And yet here we are where really the front runners are the ones still in it. Now, I think the interesting thing, though, is it seems like in the past, you've got 6 or 8 teams that could win it, and that's about it. I think this year, yeah, the ones and the twos are not as dominant. They are at the level of a lot of the 4 and 5 seeds. I think Bama could really win this thing, which is weird. You know, they're a basketball school now. Or if you ask them, they say they are. I got some friends that went to Alabama, like, yeah. We're in everything school. Man, that team can score. That game against Carolina is going to be a darn good game. They can put the ball in the basket. They play fast. They don't turn the ball over. Carolina needs to watch out. Now, Carolina's a good basketball team, but it's going to be a good game. NC State, they looked a little tired on Saturday. 7 games in 11 days is a lot, but they're going to get some days off. They don't play again until Friday. So that's 5 days off, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They got some time off. Marquette's good. They're healthy, finally. But State's the hottest team in the country. We'll see what happens. Like I said, I don't like betting against Shaka in the tournament, but it's going to be a good game. I think we're in for a really intriguing second weekend. You know, the casual fans don't tune in as much week two. There's something about those first 2 days, and then everybody's bracket shot to crap, and then it's like, man, we just watched 48 basketball games in the last 4 days, and that's a lot of basketball, and then it almost seems like sometimes people lose interest as it goes on. It's kind of the opposite of other sports, you know, like the World Series. It's like, man, CSs are on, World Series is on, I'm tuning in now. And then the NFL, it's like, oh, wild card weekend, whatever. And this is obviously for the casual sports fans. I mean, you know, I'm watching them all, but when you look at the casuals, it's definitely a little different. And like I said, this weekend always seems to be like the least watched weekend in the NCAA tournament. Once the Final Four's here, they all kind of tune in. I just looked at the time. We're about out of time. So we want to thank you for tuning into the Patrick Johnson Show today. Thanks to the P-Man, Steven Igo, Coach Cliff Godwin, of course. And stay tuned for Inside Pirate Athletics right here on 94.3 The Game right after this. PJ will be back with you in full tomorrow. Won't be bringing home you there on the back end. And today, Inside Pirate Athletics, Coach Godwin, JC, Eric Ritchie, and Ryan McChrystal. Have a great rest of your evening, Pirate Nation.